What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am your host, John Sears, and we've got a great show to carry into the weekend as potential Cubs offseason target Manny Machado makes waves on social media for kind of the wrong reasons. But does that scare the Cubs at all? It probably should. Probably shouldn't scare any team, but we'll talk about that in the first segment. Later, NBC Sports' Tony Andracki, a coworker of mine, wrote an interesting story about one of the more underrated storylines in the offseason involving the shortstop position. We'll kind of take a look at what he was talking about and kind of get the optics of the situation at shortstop for 2019. And apparently, Ben Zobrist misses the Cubs season just as much as we do, with one of the more interestingly weird videos I've seen on the internet today from Ben Zobrist dancing to Mumford & Sons. I wish I could give you more context than that. We'll talk about that in the third and final segment. So, but let's roll into this first segment. Of course, Manny being Manny, taking kind of a whole nother meaning behind it, as Machado has kind of had some interesting run-ins with some of the Brewers through five games here in the NLCS. It's kind of interesting to see. Machado's never been like a dirty player, and I don't think he is a dirty player. So I think the people that are coming out and are like, oh, you know, he's a jerk, blah, blah, blah. There was an incident with Dustin Pedroia, where he slid into second. He's had a couple hard slides just as an Oriole. And then we saw some of these incidents happening with the Dodgers. But I think it has more to do with him playing on a true contender in a major market. America's finally kind of getting a real look at what Manny Machado does besides these insane plays in third base and, you know, clubbing home runs. He's never going to be Johnny Hustle, apparently, is what he kind of said after he didn't run out a ground ball to first base here. He hit a liner to Orlando Arcia, which he told Ken Rosenthal was 100 miles an hour, which Ken Rosenthal put in quotes, which was so funny. It was almost like a subtweet in an article, actually 76 miles per hour. Not that fast. But he had a one hopper right to Orlando Arcia. He was out, likely out. Didn't really hustle for it. He didn't necessarily make any excuses, though. There was a lot more to the quote than I had originally saw before I read that Ken Rosenthal article. Because I saw everything kind of happening on Twitter prior to finally sitting down and reading these quotes. And Machado was like relatively mature of what he was saying. I think he was honest and being fair with himself and just trying to kind of portray himself in the correct light. And I can appreciate that. At the same time, though, like, come on, dude, like, this is the NLCS. You have to run these grounders out. Like, you have to give yourself a chance. You know, you don't want to lose a game from lack of effort, clearly. So then, of course, there were a couple questionable slides in game three, sliding through first base, first base, second base. One of them was deemed kind of okay by Arcia. He didn't think it was anything too aggressive. There was another one where Machado clearly grabbed his leg, and that was when he turned to the umpire, who then eventually was already getting ready to call the interference or whatnot. So had a couple of questionable calls, and then of course the one that kind of drew everyone in was when he was clearly out at first base and kicked Jesus Aguilar's foot, who I will say left his foot on the bag way too long. But you know, what is Manny Machado doing? So just kind of really weird. I don't know why, like, you would want to do this. Like, this isn't like basketball where, like, you're going to agitate the guy to draw a foul. Like, it's baseball. There's nine other guys on the field with you. Everyone's staring at you being Machado, like, easily probably the biggest star in this series right now, maybe next to Christian Yelich or Clayton Kershaw, I guess. But, you know, like, 100% one of the top 10 superstars in the league, you're going to be watched at any point. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you being difficult? That being said, you know, the kind of talk I've heard from a few different people and just kind of like in general, the talk about Manny Machado is like people seem to be frustrated with the way he's acting, and it's kind of having them have second thoughts about Manny Machado. Going through Cubs Reddit the last couple days, I'm surprised by how many people still don't like Bryce Harper and don't want him, think he's some cocky jerk or whatever. I hate to break it to you guys, but that's how just professional athletes are. A lot of them are kind of just cocky jerks. It is what it is. It comes with the territory. You want your guy to be a cocky jerk in moments because that's what the type of mindset you get when you usually hit a home run. You know, whatever. You know, I'm not going to get into psychology here, but I'm surprised how many people were so much just very much in the Manny Machado camp. And after this has happened, it's making people think twice about it. I've got some news to break to you guys. the Cubs do not care. They're not going to care. They're going to 100% go after Manny Machado at the, you know, very minimum kick the tires type of level, but realistically we'll probably be in on a lot of conversations. Bryce Harper is another guy, clearly. Like, they're going to go in all these guys. They're going to pay the money. They've got TV money coming out here in the next year or two. There's nothing keeping them from spending the money on this type of, on these type of players. They're not going to be, I guess, pushed away from Machado potentially not respecting 90 or anything like that. Like, that's not going to happen. It's not even something we should really even give 2 seconds, but it is what it is. I personally, for what it's worth, I don't really care that Machado didn't run these out. It doesn't really bother me, to be perfectly honest. Especially if he were to come to the Cubs and hit like 30 home runs, I could probably live with him not running out of ground out if he's going to hit bombs like that. So, you know, you know, it is what it is. So, quickly before we jump to the second segment, I wanted to talk about Chili Davis, of course, got let go, but apparently there are some other rumblings about coaching staff members. Kelly Kroll kind of hinted at it a little bit on the Cubs Talk podcast. I'd seen some things on Twitter that I, you know, wasn't necessarily going to put out until someone more legitimate had said some things. If you guys haven't listened to the Cubs Talk podcast, you should do it. It gave me quite a bit of insight on what type of guy Chili Davis is. Because like I mentioned on Wednesday's podcast, you don't get to talk to these guys. You don't really ever get to interact with the hitting coaches, pitching coaches. They're very rarely around. I saw Jim Hickey a decent amount just because he was working some rehab sessions with Drew Smyly when I was there. But these guys aren't normally actively around. But Kelly Kroll was kind of talking about Chili Davis being an old soul, and, you know, which I think is a really nice way of just putting he thought Chili Davis is kind of like, you know, the type of guy that would yell at clouds type of situation. He was very clear to mention millennials in his conversation, but it was an interesting podcast is what I'm trying to say, I guess. But beyond that, she also mentioned, too, that some of the Cubs pitchers weren't necessarily big fans of Jim Hickey. They felt like his coaching style didn't really mesh with what they had going on. I mean, I would be surprised if they fired Jim Hickey, but, I mean, right now, the only thing we know truly is that Joe Maddon is coming back as the coach for 2019 and that his hitting coach is going to be Anthony Oposi. Beyond that, we don't really know who's going to mean what. I mean, we could probably assume Brian Butterfield staying as the third base coach and Andy Haynes will be the assistant hitting coach, Mike Borzello. You know, these guys are going to be there. They're not going to just go and be gone. But, you know, pitching coach, I mean, if the Cubs were really frustrated with what they saw and don't feel like Jim Hickey's going to get the message across or work with these guys, that maybe they consider that. But I mean, after what we saw from the pitching in the second half, particularly when Cole Hamill showed up and Jesse Chavez was involved in the bullpen, I'd be surprised if that happens. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, I was talking with Tony Andracki before the show here today, just kind of about what the role is of a pitching or a hitting coach. And realistically, like, you know, these guys are mainly there for the mental aspect of the game. They're there to help these guys through slumps, help them through moments where they're struggling with something, you know, basically give them the positive encouragement that they need and maybe give them the correct approach or have them change or make adjustments or whatnot when they are working through issues or even when they are just trying to do something different at the plate. You know, they're kind of there for a sounding board, but, you know, for results themselves, like, no one's going to be looking at the pitching coach and be like, well, this is on you, except for when you don't hit and you lose your job, like what happened with Chili Davis. So, but the Cubs were pretty transparent, forthcoming about that situation and saying, you know, it wasn't so much about Chili not being able to execute as it was about Chili not being able to communicate. And that's why Anthony Oposi is in, and that's why they're hoping that things change when they've got guys that will be a little more comfortable with him. So we're going to take a quick break here as we roll into the second segment. We'll talk a little bit about that article that Tony wrote, actually, about the Cubs shortstop position and what that could look like for 2019. So, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Tony Andracki wrote a very interesting article here for NBC Sports Chicago, kind of talking about the least talked about offseason story that could potentially have the biggest impact for the Cubs this year, or in 2019, I guess, and that's the shortstop position. Of course, you've got Addison Russell, who legitimately, like, depending on what the Cubs want to do with him, his career could absolutely be in jeopardy right now. It's going to start at least the first month of the season suspended. has almost no trade value right now, and he's coming off of two relatively subpar seasons with the Cubs. Of course, Javier Baez is coming off his best season ever. There's no doubt that clearly coming into 2019, barring the Cubs acquiring someone like Machado, Javier Baez is likely the starting shortstop. And even if Machado is on this roster, he's far better at third base. Bryant probably moves to the outfield, whatever it may be. You know, it's probably Baez at shortstop, Machado at third base if they were to sign him or whatnot. But you have to consider two things with Baez. First off, behind him, it's David Bodie and maybe Ben Zobrist and not really anyone else that's on the Major League roster. You've got Mike Freeman and I guess Ryan Court, who could kind of make sense, but they're also in 31 or older and likely not going to be realistic options for the future. Chesney Young is a piece that could be there at some point. Zach Short, someone that, you know, the options that might make sense, but realistically aren't people you want starting at the Major League level. And it's not like they'd be starting every day or anything like that. But, you know, that's what you have to look at. If Russell is truly gone from the Cubs, it's Baez, it's Bodie, and then it's maybe Chesney Young. Who knows? There's no true backup at shortstop, and that could be an issue going throughout the season. The other thing, too, is Baez is, I mean, clearly excellent on defense, but when you compare him to Russell, the biggest thing that stands out, first off, is the errors. Russell committed 17 errors this year, but Baez committed somewhere around 20 to 21, I think, is what the stat was between second, third, shortstop this year. Played really well at shortstop, though, but, you know, collectively, I think, had 5 defensive runs saved. Russell was at 11 and had a somewhat, I mean, clearly didn't play, like, the final month of baseball for the most part, or the final 3 weeks of baseball. But you look at the range itself. Russell got to 68 balls that were considered outside the shortstop range, compared to Baez's 28. Still an impressive number, but when you're talking about a guy like Russell who just covers so much ground, I mean, think of how many base hits he steals, or how many, you know, balls that could be doubles, or, you know, whatever would be run scoring plays stopped in the infield and everyone stays where they're at. Like, it's extremely valuable, particularly to a team that lost 40 games where they scored one run or less this year. You know, that's it makes a huge difference. Who, you know, hopefully the Cubs offense hits and this isn't an issue, but, you know, that is something you need to consider. I mean, I don't think it's a question that Russell is, I think, a little more sound than Baez defensively. Baez has the better arm. Baez has the ability to kind of make these innate plays where he lets the ball bounce one more time or picks it early or, you know, plays it on a different type of hop. Who knows? But he just seems to have the instinctual plays where he can go and do something. But then we also see him double pump and miss a ball on his glove. Like, that happens. Russell doesn't do that a whole lot. And, you know, we're talking about him assuming that he's going to be on this roster at this moment, but, you know, who knows really what the future holds for him. So it's kind of interesting because, I mean, the Cubs need to get and add some type of value for the shortstop position, for whatever it may be. I've seen people kind of talk about Whit Merrifield. I don't think he's necessarily your shortstop guy, but at least he would give you some flexibility in the infield maybe. Clearly, the guy that I think would make the most sense you know, right now would be the Manny Machado. Acquiring him, putting him in the spot, at least short-term wise, that makes a ton of sense. Long-term wise, I still kind of lean towards Bryce Harper. If we're talking about the two big free agent pieces in the offseason, Harper's probably the guy that I think long-term wise makes more sense, just because the outfield likely is going to be a little bit easier to move parts from and be a little more flexible. On top of that, Harper's bat, left-handed with plenty of pop, walks. You know, people talk about the strikeouts all the time. I think Harper just makes a lot of sense in that lineup. But if you're talking about like what you need to do, if you're truly thinking you need to add another infielder, particularly one that can play shortstop, adding Manny Machado, you know, you're splitting hairs here, really, honestly, when you're comparing him to Harper. I think Harper's the guy that should be edged out and probably the more elite talent, but, you know, that's just me. But when you're looking at the rest of this roster constructed, I mean, there's guys like Aramis Adamine, who he took a step back this year, unfortunately. He's still only 20, super young. Chesney Young has been in the system for like 3-4 years. I thought he would be a guy that by now would be something like a Tommy La Stella. Maybe you decide to move on from Tommy La Stella, keep David Bodie and put someone else there that can, you know, do something. Who knows? I mean, Tommy La Stella was essential to the Cubs this year to an extent in terms of pinch hitting, but didn't really have any extra base power or anything besides singles. So It'll be interesting to see how this roster shakes out. But I'm surprised by how much we're not talking about shortstops. Now, I know it's early in the offseason. I mean, the offseason even actually started. It's early in the non-baseball season for the Cubs right now, and they're trying to figure out what they're doing with Addison Russell. There's nothing really concrete about what the plan is or any updates really there in general. But, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see, because they'll have to clearly figure that situation out first. Like, they have to address Addison Russell, get this solved, decide what they're doing from there, and then kind of move on to the rest of the offseason. But I feel like their Cubs are doing their own investigation at this point. They're trying to deem if they need to help Addison Russell, you know, if things are going on with Melissa that they can help out with. Basically, they need to identify all the factors here, decide if Russell's really worth the time to try and get him back on this roster, and then, you know, you also have to kind of factor in the arbitration case. I'm assuming with how stressful the situation is, Addison Russell's arbitration price would probably come down, if anything, at this point. But, you know, who knows? That's still a situation you have to kind of figure out. There's a lot of up in the air with Russell. Clearly, arbitration won't be settled for a little bit. That's not going to be something they can take care of. But they will decide, you know, whether or not they're going to address Russell. I personally think they should probably move on. I think a lot of people are in the same camp as me there. But, you know, not our decision, not our choice. So I can see why you want to keep Russell, particularly because at least for another year, you could hold on to him, see if he gains any more value, because you're not losing anything holding on to him at this point. So just letting him sit on the roster, if you do decide you want to try and do something with him to get something back, you could sit him on the roster, see if him playing for a year at the very least maybe shows people that you can still utilize him in some way, work him in some deal at some point to get something back. But I feel like if the Cubs were playing that type of long game with Russell, it probably just honestly, the backlash of keeping a guy like Addison Russell in your roster probably isn't worth necessarily the small gain you have back in the player. But, you know, that's also my opinion. So the other thing you have to think about too as well is, you know, what exactly is David Bodie's role here? I mean, we saw him have a great season, kind of a little bit, a lot of heroic, impressive moments, but I think his batting average dropped to 194 after that grand slam. Clearly, Bodie's got plenty of pop, plenty of power, hits the ball harder than just about anyone else in baseball. But we'll have to see if he has true staying power, and if he's not, you know, if he's really a bench player, utility guy you can use in the future, or if he's just kind of a dude that can swing the bat real hard that turned into somewhat of a folk legend here for the Cubs. So there's options. I think David Bodie, I think what the Cubs would try and do is they would do, clearly Javier Baez, the starting shortstop, David Bodie come in and be kind of the guy that would spell him if he needs a day or whatever. You'd have to hope for no injury, though, because that's really where you're worried. It's not necessarily about getting Baez a day off. It's if Baez gets hurt, there's no one really in this Cubs farm system that's going to be able to step up and necessarily play the shortstop position the way it needs to be and add any type of offense production, besides maybe David Bodie, but who knows. So let's roll to the third and final segment of this show. We'll talk a little bit about Ben Zobrist and his Mumford and Sons song. There was an article from ESPN that ranked the top 50 coaches in sports. Joe Madden was on that list. We'll talk about where he landed on there, and we'll go over a quick recap of the Arizona Fall League developments, I guess, so far throughout the season, kind of go over some stat lines. So for those of you who have not seen it yet, I'll try and put a link into it from the podcast here. Ben Zobrist put together this kind of like really weird video where it's really weird. It's super funny though. He's basically like running around in some farm with a baseball bat, just mouthing the words to "I Will Wait for You" by Mumford and Sons. Super weird, but I guess he just really misses baseball, and that makes sense. I mean, he's 37 years old. He knows he only got a couple more years, and he just had easily his best season as a Cub, and arguably the best season of his career. He's never hit for a higher batting average, so I could see why the guy's excited, and you know, give it to him. You know, that's fine. Quickly, there's a little bit of an update here for the prospects. Kerry Muscat shared for the AFL results today. Nico Horner and PJ Higgins drove in 3 runs each. DJ Wilson scored 4 runs. Attaboy, DJ, my boy. Justin Steele walked 2 and struck out 2 in 3 innings for his second start in Mesa. It was an 18-2 win in surprise. Higgins hit a 3-run home run in the eighth to really kind of seal the deal, because gosh, it's pretty touch and go there for a bit. So that's exciting to see. Of course, it's not all just Cubs. There was 9 players on that roster from the Cubs. It's comprised of 4 different teams as well. But ESPN released a listing of the top 50 coaches across the 4 major sports in America. Joe Maddon was on that list and landed as the 13th best coach in all sports. He was the 4th best major league coach behind Alex Cora, Terry Francona, and AJ Hinch. So that's great to see Joe Maddon get some recognition. It's interesting to see him get that rating now. I would wonder where he would be if the Cubs had not necessarily been bounced out of the playoffs the way they had been. But still, good news for Joe Maddon. Good news for the Cubs. They've got, clearly, Joe Madden's one of the better managers in baseball and has been. Matt Caesar pictures are selling on the internet still, which are interesting. So, of course, Matt Caesar does paintings and does a lot of stuff from the 2016 team and takes a lot of photos and paints them. And they're very interesting. They're kind of cool. And then I forgot to mention this on the last Tuesday show here. Assistant GM Shiraz Rehman leaving the Cubs to join the Rangers front office. That scoop was first by Cubs Insider. Of course, if you guys aren't following them, that's Evan Altman. Good group of guys, really just do a solid job. Broke that news and had it a couple hours before anyone else, so kudos to those dudes. Give them some credit. They deserve it. But beyond that, that's the show here for you guys today. The plan for the moment right now is going to try and go have a podcast up for you guys on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for right now. And, of course, anything breaking will kind of fill in the gaps there. We've got some guests coming down the pipeline. We have to kind of square some things away. It's tough during the offseason because so many baseball guys want to get away from it for a bit. But we'll see what we can do to get that going. I'm going to have a couple episode previews for some positional breakdowns, kind of rankings and what we expect from 2019 from certain positions. Of course, catcher's probably going to be the first one I go about with Wilson Contreras and kind of looking at maybe some options as backup catchers. That's something I've got in my mind. So that'll be coming out here in a little bit. And then Tony Draghi is going to be on the show a couple times, I think, next week. So we'll get that squared away for you guys as well, too. So thanks again for tuning in. This has been episode 149 of Locked On Cubs. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts, you should be able to find Locked On Cubs. Beyond that, check out all the great NBA coverage we have going right now on Locked On Network. NBA season kicking off. The Bulls start tonight, so that's great. But beyond that, of course, we've got 2 championship series is still going on this weekend. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. But beyond that, thanks again for tuning in, and go Cubs.